should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for him and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend, his eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me. And his eye is on the sparrow. And I know
that wonderful. Dear Heavenly Gracious God, as we come before your holy presence, we thank you for who you are and who you continue to be in each of our lives. Forgive us for each and every known sin, words, thoughts, or deeds. We thank you for just watching over all of us as believers of the household of faith, irrespective of where we are, irrespective of skin tone, that you do not see, that men and women always look at. You look at our heart and the fact that we accepted your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a result of dying for me. Continue to protect the believers, O God, irrespective of where they are, just trying to live and serve you and to present the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Continue to watch over the children of Israel. Continue to protect them, O God. Promises of your word has been clear. Whether individuals want to acknowledge, accept, or believe, that's up to them, because they'll have to stand before you one day and give an account. As we enter the message, we ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to take it and make it real. Continue to make it real out of the book of Esther on what's going on with Israel. In Jesus' name, we ask you and thank you. Amen. Welcome back to Gary McCants, the Challenges of Faith program. You see how I did that this morning? All right. The person you were listening to, Larnell Harris, his eyes are on the sparrow, and he'll close this out with, and in it all. Okay, so why can't the leader sleep? Now, you know where we left off at the last time, do you not? You sure? All right. Well, you can go back and listen. It's on 24 hours, 7 days a week. Catch it at any podcast you listen to. Or you can go to the book of Esther, go back to the beginning and lead up to where we are today. But the question still remains, why can't the leader sleep? You know, the king. Well, maybe you. Now, you know, like Romans chapter 13, I'll invite you to find out where, talks about how that a position is ordained of God, not the person, a position. And I say that to say that I always try to tell individuals, even if you are a janitorial or housekeeping supervisor, you are a leader. So, leaders out there in the neighborhood, place of worship, sociology, criminology, medical world, criminal justice world, the political world, as leaders, you can't go to sleep. Why is that? Do you really know? Do you really want to know? Well, let's get back to the story. So Haman, you know Haman, don't you? You remember, don't you? You know the person that the leader had just appointed to second in command, and his chest was all stuck up. You know how that is, men, ladies too. You know, ones who've never had power, true power, never had a title before, never had whatever one is possessing that's temporary. Why is it temporary? Because the next moment, a breathing is not promised to you nor me. And if you know anything about humans, men and women, women and men, one day you got this, the next day they take it away for whatever the reasons are. It's temporary. Remember, so Haman was appointed second in command, walking all out. Think about it. Put yourself in his position. I don't want to, but you know you've been there. And there's Mordecai. Mordecai, however way you want to pronounce him. Just don't ruin the man's name. You don't want nobody to ruin your name, do you? And he's not bowing to Haman like others are. Maybe that's what you're doing on your job. Maybe that's what you're doing wherever comes to your heart and mind. What's your motive? And what's your motive for not doing so, depending? Because God, for a believer of the household of faith, is clear who the only person is that you bow to. So here Haman recognized that Mordecai isn't bound to him. Oh, boy, that heart of hatred. You know, because humans can put that overt face on, you know, that face of deception, act like they love you to death and have a dagger ready to stick it in your back. You know it's true. And so now you got this hatred. Or Mordecai, not only for him, but for the whole Jewish nation in which Mordecai was a part of. Now you contemplate that, ponder that for those of you, irrespective of who you are and where you are. Think about that. Put yourself in Mordecai's shoes. So Haman let his wife talk him into building a gallows to hang Mordecai. What? Now Haman got his wife involved. Oh, she had her two cents, didn't she? Mm-hmm. Talked him into building a gallows. Now this is just before he's going to, remember, a dinner that was extended to him, an invitation, a banquet by Esther. You remember the story, don't you? You know, the king, the leader's wife. Remember how she got the position? Do you remember how you got it, believer of the household of faith? Did you pray for it, P-R-A-Y, or did you P-R-E-Y, the position that you're holding, the materialism that you're possessing? The title, whatever the case may be, the money, the person. So Haman let his wife talk him into building a gallows to hang Mordecai out of hatred of him. And now to exterminate the whole Jewish nation. Remember how Mordecai was able to convince the leader, the king, to sign a law that wasn't able to be changed. Remember now, that's how those men got rid of the king's first wife. You remember Vashti, don't you? Remember how the king went to a party contemplating going to war globally, and he invited all the princes, you know, all the other leaders from all those provinces that he was over, and they got all intoxicated and began to do A through Z, and all of a sudden the king stuck his chest out along with the title and the power that he possessed and wanted his queen to come and show her overt beautiness, and she refused. She wasn't having it. She letting everybody know, you know, he may be king, but this is who he is to me. You know, men, like you do your ladies, how you do your men. Keep it real. It sounds good when you go out there telling everybody a different story. You know it's true. So now, ponder this. Irrespective of skin tone, Haman is so excited to be invited by Esther to a banquet. Remember now, excuse me, he's number two, an important man. How about you? You're an important man or woman in a very powerful position of influence. I'm just trying to remind you, because maybe you forgot how you got it, if it came from God. So, what else is going on while those gallows are being built? Remember now, you've now read the story, or you've gone back, you've listened to the programs, the previous messages, now you've caught up. Just buying you time to catch up. Remember now, Haman is now on his way to the banquet, where he's going to finalize all of this extermination. Because he's going to let the king, the leader, know something tonight. Oh, yeah. He sure is. Especially what he got planned for Mordecai. But the question is, what else was going on while those gallows were being built? You know, the ones suggested by his wife. You remember what happened with Job? You remember the suggestion his wife made? And maybe there's some husband out there or some boyfriend, girlfriend, or boyfriend out there making some type of suggestion. And you're looking at him like, is something wrong with you? Depending, because there are those of you who may be going along just to get along, believer of the household of faith. Is that you? And then there are some of you who wisely, depending on the topic, know when you should, are you ready, men? Because you know you don't like this word. You know you don't surrender. Submit is the same as surrender. You know, where you became the president of the Honeydew Club. You know, man, come on now. When your wife has told you to do this, do that, get this, get that. And you did it. And there was nothing wrong with that. But the question is, what else is going on while these gallows are being built? Because something else was happening that night. You do know that, don't you? Like in your own life. You know, remember how the word lets us know how that your enemy, that two-leg enemy, whoever comes to your heart and mind, you know, and you got enemies, you don't even know your enemies because they're pretending like they are genuine friends. You know it's true. But how about the spiritual enemy, the devil, who's using the two-leg person who hates you like Haman, a Haman-like person? And the word lets us know how that they cannot even sleep at night because they're conspiring, thinking about what they're going to do to you and you and you, believer of the household of faith, and me too. But something else was happening that night. God was working. Wait a minute. Gary, you said that the book of Esther does not mention God. Go ahead. I'm listening. Oh, you finished? Oh, well, you go ahead and read the book of Esther. Show me where it mentions God at. Okay, go ahead. Oh, you're done? Do you see his name? Do you hear of him? Oh, you're quiet now. You know, just like in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, we may not see him when we cry out to him with a clean heart. You know, like Psalm 66, I'll let you find the verse, talks about. You don't think he hears our prayers? You remember Mordecai? Did he pray? Did Esther pray? Remember now, weren't they out of the will of God? And you know, remember the prodigal son? It could be like the prodigal daughter. But you know how that, through God's grace and mercy, he still shows and is always stepping in on time. The hand of God, the providence of God, irrespective of who else got plans for you. Do you notice that? Well, think about what happened. That same night, the king, that leader, you know, the one that signed off on that document for every individual who happened to be Jewish was to be exterminated. And he had a restless night. He couldn't sleep, can you? And you know what he did? So he asked for somebody to read him the Chronicles of the Kingdom, you know, the log that really down what happens every day. But you know what? This time, the servant who read to him, you know, just happened. Okay. Just happened to turn to a certain place. Do you see the little consequences are starting to add up? Do you see how They're revealing that God's hand is in the glove of human circumstance. Do you see how that God's providence is moving and he's overruling and overriding events, maybe like in your life, like it does in my life, in your life, in your life, in your life, and in a nation's life that's comprised of people? But we're talking about Israel. Do you notice that it wasn't an accident that Mordecai served at the palace in the first place? Do you notice it wasn't an accident that his girl Esther became queen? Do you notice it wasn't an accident that she found favor in everybody's sight, especially the king? You know, I tell the story, the real story for my life, not your life. You can't tell my story. I can. I always tell the story. I always watch. I always take a moment and watch how that whatever project God had me on, he always had me linked up to whoever was at the top of that program. And I always watch how whoever's surrounding the top always try to place you somewhere that they want you. But God places you next to the person at the top for his reason. Do you notice that in your own life? It's no accident that Esther found favor in everybody's sight, especially the king. Did you read the story? Have you been reading your story? Or are you too busy reading everybody else's story? You're forgetting about you have a... You sure? Do you notice it wasn't an accident that she boldly asked the king her request and that he generously granted it and that he's coming to a private banquet? You remember now when you read the story and understand the times, if the king didn't grant her permission, I don't care what you think today or you got to look at it in totality if you want to, because there are a lot of people that don't want to. The king could have had her killed if he had not raised the scepter. It wasn't an accident on this night. You know why those gallows are being built? You know, the ones that Haman's wife suggested? Remember now, the king can't sleep, the leader. And he's asking for the chronicles to be read to him. And that's the exact thing which is read. Because you know what's going to happen? It's going to point to a certain event. And none of this is by accident, because God, by his providence, is overruling. Do you know what happened next? You sure you want to know? Do you know what's happening next in your own sojourn, in your own life? Do you know what's going on in your own place of worship, in your own neighborhood, in your own city, township, village, province? Do you know what's going on in your own state, your own country? Do you know? Can you see the hand of God? Is he there? Or have you walked away from him? Or your nation have walked away from him? Do you want to know what's going to happen next? Well, the servant read loudly about a recent incident in which Mordecai had reported a conspiracy to kill the king, you know, the leader who couldn't sleep. And two of the king's staff were arrested and executed. You know what the king asked since he can't sleep? He asked the question, what honor or dignity have we done to thank Mordecai for this? You know what the servant did? The servant could have said anything. Is that what you're doing, whoever you're assigned to? Are you telling them what they want to hear? That leader that you're assigned to, are you telling them what they want to hear? Are you telling them what God would have you to tell them, because you're just a vessel for him? But you know what the servant did? The servant looked through the pages and said, well, paraphrasing, there's nothing here. You know, the king recognized Mordecai's service. It wasn't just a service, it was a great service. Now he wants him rewarded. You know, the king asked, who's in the palace courtyard that can help? And guess who was there? You. Yeah, you. You know, you who hate another skin tone. Yeah, you do. You hate that individual having to be Native American. You hate that individual having to be black America. You hate that individual having to be white America. You hate that individual that happened to be Asian, Latino. You name the skin tone. You name the community. And you forgot where you all originated from, you know, human race. You forgot all about that. And you say this is who you are. You claim this is your belief system. And you're justifying it this way, that way, this way, that way. But it's not justifiable before God. And it's not justifiable before the individuals who are looking at you and listening to you. And you're a leader of some type somewhere. You know you are. And that's who you are standing out there in the palace courtyard that can help. But you know who was out there? Haman. Yeah, Haman. You know, the second in command. You know, that came with Mordecai's name on his mind. You know, the mind of where he's going to kill not only Mordecai, but the whole new Jewish nation. And maybe your nation, or your nation, or your nation, or my nation. But you got to remember now, Haman came early to talk to the king about hanging Mordecai on those gallows that he had built in the night. Now think about it. You got these two circumstances brought together, not by accident, but guess what? By the providence of God. And any believer of the household of faith with common sense know the hand of God in their life versus some hand of man, the hand of woman, woman of man, or the devil. So my question is, how about you, believer of the household of faith? How about in your own life? Because, you know, if you walk around acting like there's such thing as luck, there's no such thing as luck with followers of Jesus Christ. You know, just like you always hear me say, I believe when I meet people, irrespective of who they are, there's a reason I had to build up, not the ego, and never to take away from. Now, I don't know their motive, but I know mine. You know, and think about this, as the king's prime minister, you know, second in command. Haman had that easy access to the king. But guess what? Before Haman could even get his request out, the king, the leader, had the first word. Now play back the picture now. You can put it as a TV, movie, whatever you want to do, streaming, however way you're going to look at it. The king asked Haman, you know, the leader did, what would you do for the man who the king wants to honor? Now think about that and put yourself in Haman's place. I wouldn't, but you know you've been there. Or you will be, but this is real. You know, the king had Mordecai in mind. But you know, Haman, you know how we do. He thought he was talking about him. So Haman, you know, think about it. He's invited to lunch. Now he's going to dine with the royals, you know, the king and the queen. And in his mind, you know, where the battle takes place, you know he's thinking very highly of himself. Now, in his mind, he's probably saying, man, you know, the king, and they want to honor me, with something special because I'm special. Okay. You know what Haman said? But before we get to what Haman said, what did you say? You know, what did you say when that leader asked you? And you know how you are. You know, God made it clear in his word that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I know you run around talking about, I know my heart. Oh, okay. But did you ever think the moment you thought you was going to do this, and all of a sudden you didn't do it, you're like, what the? Did you ever think about that? You know you have. Keep it real. Even when you don't want to be real. Keep it real. What do you think Haman's response was? You know, the response that would honor the man that the king is talking about. Well, Haman said, let him wear a royal robe that the king has worn and a horse the king has ridden, you know, one with the royal crown on his head, and have a prince lead him on horseback through the city square, shouting before him, this is what is done for the man king especially wants to honor. Now think about that. I know you are. But the question is, what's behind Haman's proposal? Maybe he was conspiring. Since he is a conspirer, maybe that's you. Maybe he was conspiring to get the throne. Think about it. You're talking about the Media, Persian Empire, you know, today, Iran. Maybe he was planning to usurp the throne, you know, get the people used to seeing him with a crown on his head, you know, the royal apparel on his shoulders and riding the king's horse. You know, maybe he was subtly revealing his intention to overthrow the king. And did you ever think that maybe the king, you know, the leader saw through Haman's conspiracy? But you notice the king told him to go get the plan done and not to miss the deal. You know, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested. And do so for Mordecai the Jew, who sits within the king's gate. And you can find that in Esther chapter 6, verse 10. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. What's going on with Haman now? Now that the king have enlightened him, what's going on with you now? Think about it. Nothing could have been more offensive, more humiliating, more distasteful, more hateful to Haman than to put the royal garments and the royal crown on Mordecai, the man he intended to hang on the gallows, you know, to kill. Now he had to put him on the king's horse and lead him through the streets. And while leading him through the streets, shouting all the way that this is the man that the king delights to honor. Now, you know, Haman was miserable, were you? Are you? He was miserable. Looks like the king began to read between the lines, but does nothing about it yet. So here you got Haman. He ran home, and guess what he did? He cried on his wife's shoulder. And maybe you, ladies, ran home and cried on your guy's shoulder. But guess what his wife did? You know, the one who suggested to build the gallows. Wait a minute, wife. You was all in this corner. Damn, what's going on? Men, women, you know how relationships are. She just shook her head and said, I told you so. You're beginning to fall. And think about it, as they're talking to king's servants, they come, they escort Haman to Esther's palace. Remember now? Did Haman forget all about the dinner, the banquet? Did you forget about it? You know, because in where the battle of the mind is taking place and all that conspiracy you got going on, trying to harm the children of God, trying to harm the followers of Jesus Christ, you know you are. He's going to be late for the dinner that he's been looking forward to. Now look at these events. They're moving fast. He can't even keep up with them. Could you imagine? It's not even funny. Could you tell my people's lives, their futures, their souls being at stake? Here you got some events that he can't even control because they're turning against him. You know, that's why I would always share with my staff, and they would always see these events unfolding. And I'd always say to them, never count God out. You know, men and women, women and men, with these temporary titles, temporary powers, temporary money, temporary materialism, temporary zip codes, trying to be little g God in somebody's life across this globe since the beginning of time leading to now. There's nothing new under the sun, like Solomon made clear. Haman doesn't have any control. You know why? God, not some man, some woman, some man. God is overruling all of Haman's wicked schemes. So his conspiracy plot cannot succeed. Can you identify of that man, that woman, that man? who know not to God, you're trying to serve, conspiring against you or you or you, believer of the household of faith. A lot inspired from demonic forces. But the question is, what's going to happen at dinner? Well, you already know. We're going to find out the next time. Yeah, the next time. But you can read ahead. But before you read ahead, if you choose, go back and listen to the previous when we started in the book of Esther. So that the next time when you bring your plate and fork and water or tea or coffee or juice, you're ready to eat. You're ready to ponder and apply. If applicable, remember now all scripture is not to you and I, but it's for us. It could be applied. So in the meantime, Lord willing, return 6 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for my guest, William Owens, Director of Publishing. He's going to be inviting you and you and you and you to join him as an author or your gift with collaborations of authors, you know, a global networking event. I want to ask about what just was kicked off in Rome, Italy, that you can be a part of wherever you happen to live for the cause of Jesus Christ. I know you're going to be there.
Inside me was dying. I didn't know that you heard me each time I